Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday, October 8th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. Got some news to talk about today. The first head coach fired of the 2024 season, and it wasn't who we expected it to be, Robert Saleh. So we got to talk about him. Thought it was going to be Doug Peterson, but hey, Robert Saleh out. We'll talk about that and the implications there. First, of course, I want to talk about what we saw last night in Monday Night Football. Give you a couple updates on some injuries, and then I'll give you the top 10 on this week's waiver wire. Of course, the waiver wire tool is updated and rest of season rankings are updated over at ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Of course, if you sign up right now, you get that subscription, not just for the fantasy season. You get it straight on through the year. And I know sometimes people are like, well, why would I sign up now? I'll just sign up in August. Well, if you sign up now, you'll have it in August. So it's the gift that keeps giving year round. You will get postseason fantasy football. You will get all the dynasty stuff, the rookie fantasy scouting guide. You will get all the best ball stuff. And then we'll roll right into fantasy draft season. So you get it for 365 days. Why not? Why not? I beg you to give me an answer there. You can't do it. Just sign up. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK. Let's get into Robert Saleh first, then we'll talk Monday Night Football, because this is the big story today in the NFL. A surprising move by the Jets, made even more surprising by the fact that Woody Johnson has never fired a coach in season. You know, a lot of times these owners and, you know, the upper management of these teams tend to do things very similarly, so this is out of the ordinary. Saleh is out. Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, will take over as the interim head coach. I think Ulbrich is interesting. I don't think that they end up keeping him as beyond the interim job, but you never quite know. I mean, honestly, if they go on a run and it's on his watch, then maybe they do. But he is somebody who has made his way up the rankings here. He has done a nice job as the defensive coordinator. I think everybody would agree the defense hasn't been the problem under Robert Saleh. It's been the offense. And that even continues this year when you would think, oh, Aaron Rodgers is okay. Everything should be good. Yet they've had questionable usage of Breece Hall. The route tree for Garrett Wilson has been suspect as well. So yeah, he's out. But for some reason, Gold Member is still there. And that, of course, being Nathaniel Hackett. I don't know if they fire him as well. Sometimes you will see an assistant or two get rolled out with an in-season firing. Sometimes you don't. Now, we do know that Aaron Rodgers has a close relationship with Nathaniel Hackett, and maybe, just maybe, that's enough for Nathaniel Hackett to hang on here. If that happens, maybe it has already happened since I recorded and now you're listening to this podcast, but as of right now, I'm not seeing anything. So what happens from here? Honestly, there's still a lot of appeal. I think we're still in a buy low window on Breece. Garrett Wilson, we're no longer in a buy low window because he had that big performance, though you still have some fantasy managers who are doubting the sustainability of Garrett Wilson if Davante Adams is added to the mix. That's still an if. And honestly, I don't mind it. But we'll see what happens from here. This is still a competitive team, a team that has two wins. You know, they're not 0-5. That's why this is definitely a bit of a surprise. And it's a very winnable division if the Buffalo Bills are not going to be a juggernaut. And as of right now, they're not a juggernaut. So this is fascinating. We'll see what happens from here. But as of right now, Jeff Ulbrich is the interim and Saleh is out with the New York Jets. All right, let's talk some Monday Night Football. I thought it was an entertaining game despite not being the most potent game, especially on the New Orleans side of the football. They did score two offensive touchdowns, so I'll give them credit where credit's due on that front. But overall, it was lackluster. Derek Carr even getting hurt at the end of the game. He may not play this week, so Jake Haener, I guess, super flex. Yikes. He did not look good when he came in relief duty. But either way, let's break down their side first before we get to Kansas City. Rashid Shaheed, 9 targets, caught 4 for 86. Derek Carr loves to push the ball vertically, and another long touchdown for Shaheed. Not a 50-plus yarder, but a 40-plus yarder. And in some leagues, you do get that bonus for the 40-plus yard touchdowns. 4 for 86 and a score. He remains sort of fringe wide receiver too. I'm not worried about Chris Olave. I have a lot of people panicking here. That tells me it's a buy low window for him. Olave is a very capable receiver who ran into some tough coverage in this game, and he had 3 straight games with 80-plus yards. Like, I don't know. Usually, my best advice is, if you are panicky about a player, look beyond just this week, because usually you're just panicky because one bad game. And he had 3 straight good games before one bad game, so I'm not worried about him. Alvin Kamara, the beauty to a true 3-down back. He goes 11 for 26. That is not the beauty. That is really bad. But then he catches 6 for 40. So he gave you 10 points in PPR just as a pass catcher. Now, it's not a great week, but it wasn't absolutely disastrous. And if this is his floor, I'll take it. Going to the other side. Let's start with Mahomes. He played really great in this game. Now, great for football and great for fantasy are two different things. And sometimes you can actually play a poor game and be good for fantasy, or even better than good for fantasy. And sometimes you can play a really good game and not be good for fantasy. And that was the case here with Mahomes. I understand that people are panicky about him, but I keep going back to this. And, you know, I put this tweet out the other day, yesterday, it all blends together, about players you're done with in fantasy. And a lot of people were saying Mahomes, and it's like, dude, you set yourself up for failure, and now you're surprised that you failed. It comes back to poor draft strategy. Drafting a quarterback in the early part of a draft is poor draft strategy in one quarterback leagues, and I don't care what your argument against it is, it's poor draft strategy. You're going to, you know, every year I find people who want to find a reason to do it, and fine, that's how you want to draft. You draft however you want to draft, but if we set ourselves up for failure and then we fail, why are we surprised by that? You know, this year, top 4 quarterbacks, Lamar was one of them. Okay, you got Lamar. Mahomes, Allen, Jalen Hurts. People are very upset about Mahomes. Now they're starting to get very upset about Allen. And I still think there are some people, based on what I'm seeing, who are upset about Hurts. They're upset about the player despite them making the move to decide to draft the player. That's the problem here. So if you're having that issue, if you're having an issue at tight end, I've seen people saying they're done with Sam Laporta. Well, bro, why'd you draft him in the second round? You know, I understand if you're done with Kyle Pitts, but wouldn't you much rather be done with Kyle Pitts in the 6th or 7th round than Sam Laporta in the 2nd round? Like, that's a big difference right there. And maybe Pitts went in the 5th round, but I saw him in the 6th a lot. Fine. You know, not great, but I'd rather be done with him there. It comes down to draft strategies. We create our own problems oftentimes with poor draft strategy. But Mahomes was great. He just didn't throw a touchdown, and his interception wasn't his fault if you didn't see. That was Juju, but can we talk about Juju? 7 for 130, the most receiving yards he's had since 2018. Juju? All right. Well, he showed up and he played the Rashee Rice role. He didn't quite do it as well as Rashee Rice, but he wasn't that bad. He definitely surprised me. He is worth an add. He's not in my top 10, so you won't hear him on this show today, but I have 43 players currently ranked in the waiver wire tool over at ftnfantasy.com. So ample players there for you to choose from. And he's in the mix. Now, I want to see it more than one game before we anoint him, you know, like a wide receiver 3 or better. But it is clear, you know, he's better for the volume role than Xavier Worthy. Worthy had 4 touches. You know, granted, he scored on one of them as a runner, but 3 for 25 as a pass catcher, he's just not a volume guy, and that's fine. He doesn't have to be, but he is not the Rashee Rice role. That's Juju. So Rice, we don't know yet, and maybe by the time you listen to this, we'll get news on he's going to have anesthesia, and I'm assuming this is a scope to determine the extent of his knee injury. Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter had conflicting tweets. So the reporting isn't necessarily solid here. I tend to believe Schefter slightly more right now, though Rappaport could end up ultimately, when it's all said and done, being correct. But we have an uncertain timetable. It seems like best case scenario is a 6 to 8 week absence, though, for Rice. So probably not worth keeping around, because your season could be over by the time he's back. Though if you have a lot of depth, you have an extra IR spot, maybe you keep him around. Kelce was busy in this one. You could tell it was a priority to get him the ball. Andy Reid usually scripts those beginning plays, and they were scripted to Kelce. And I think that's smart. Get him going. Get the momentum there. You don't want him going into halftime with like one catch for 12 yards or 5 yards or whatever. He had a lot of work, 9 for 70. I think he is back in that elite conversation. It was just a blip at the beginning of the season. And if anything, Rashee Rice getting hurt will really help the Kelce managers out there. All right, let's round it out with Kareem Hunt. So he goes 27 for 102 and one. We did have him ranked as an RB2, so if you started him, good on you. He did catch a ball as well, but that's it in the passing game. So 28 touches for him. Carson Steele was clearly his backup, and then Samaje Perine was clearly the pass-catching back. Is this Kareem Hunt the new normal going forward? He's going to be a 20-plus touch a game guy. I'm still reluctant here, and I will tell you, I wasn't impressed by him. This was a volume play, and sometimes volume is good. Like, ask any Najee Harris manager. Like, the more, the merrier in terms of volume. But I really didn't find Kareem Hunt's play that impressive. So I still am uneasy about this backfield. Yes, it does look like Kareem Hunt is the number one back, at least until Pacheco, whenever that happens, returns. The team is heading into bye, though, and it's likely we will see Clyde Edwards-Helaire when they return. Will Clyde Edwards-Helaire take work away from Kareem Hunt? Would he just replace Carson Steele? Would he just replace Samaje Perine? Or will it be a four-headed monster? Not really, because I still think there's going to be a lead back. But still, like, there's so many questions here. So if I have Hunt, one thing I might do is sell high, if I could. Oh, boy, I'd love... Hey, Breece Hall manager, you looking to move off of him? I got Kareem Hunt here for you. I don't think that happens, but you see what I'm saying. I think the perception and the reality of Kareem Hunt are in two different places. He looked like an older running back last night, which is what he is, and that's fine. But he didn't see anything that really impressed me. His long run of the night was 8 yards. And I don't think we're going to see much more than that out of him. So possible sell high. I'm just proceeding with caution with that backfield because that's how I roll. All right, let's get over to a few news items. I'm getting a lot of questions about Jonathan Taylor. So the idea with Jonathan Taylor is this was expected to be 2 to 4 weeks. So don't be surprised if he misses again this week. Doesn't really put Trey Sermon in a great spot. I wasn't overly impressed by him, but he should see that workload, and that workload matters. Nico Collins, week to week. Oh, joy. Coach speak translation. Week to week means he's not playing this week, and that's coming from D'Amico Ryans, who's been overly optimistic about Joe Mixon. By the way, Joe Mixon, D'Amico Ryans, not sure if he's going to be available this week. Are you kidding me? Another one? Another one. We don't know about Damian Pierce yet, but the Cam Akers thing, I think we've all wised up to, I think, finally. The Dare Ogunbowale thing, I mean, yeah, volume, he does figure to be the lead back, but ugh, like flex, I guess. I haven't run numbers yet. I'm going to do rankings after I get off this podcast, but not optimal. Good news, though, for the Eagles, they do expect to have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith back. And that's just a fair warning to the Dallas Goedert people. Like, don't chase the numbers. Realize where the numbers come from. Dallas Goedert was a great option in weeks 3 and 4 because A.J. Brown was out and then Devontae Smith was out. You know, Devontae Smith was concussed in week 3. When they're back on the field, guess who gets the football? Like, and this is not me speculating. This is me based on a couple seasons worth of data points here. Those two, not Dallas Goedert. And Dallas Goedert is not a touchdown producer, so it really limits him. I had a couple people thinking I was crazy when I said, yeah, I'd drop him this past week. Of course I would. He was a streamer. Streamers get dropped. But if you could have traded him, maybe that's better. Either way, they'll be back this week almost certainly. Khalil Shakir, day-to-day with the ankle issue. They need him back. Of course, they get the Jets on Monday night without Robert Saleh. Brian Robinson, they're monitoring the knee issue because there was some weird usage there. Like, if Robinson doesn't play, then Jeremy McNichols will be viable as a potential flex option. Though we did see the bulk of the work go to Austin Eckler, at least in terms of snap share this past week. Zach Moss's ankle should be good. But just to be safe, you know, I'll talk about Chase Brown in a few minutes here. Travis Etienne has a shoulder issue. According to Doug Peterson, he'll be okay. But I'll tell you exactly what I think is going on in that backfield in a few minutes, because obviously we have to talk about Tank Bigsby. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, yeah, the tight end stuff. So Evan Engram could be back this week. David Njoku is undergoing an MRI, or I think he did yesterday. I don't have the results of the MRI yet. It's not publicly available, but not good. Usually that is not good. Anthony Richardson is the starting quarterback when healthy. We don't know if he's going to start this week. I do think we ultimately get another week of Joe Flacco. Will Levis is improving, but we don't know if he's going to start this week. We also don't know if the Patriots are going to make a change. This is not injury-based, but make a change to Drake May. It has been not good under Jacoby Brissett, and I don't want to knock Jacoby Brissett because he was given a tough task and he's performed admirably in that tough task. However, you know, looking at all of this, they have to make a change. And, you know, I don't want to see Drake May get killed behind that offensive line, but they have to make a change. So I'd expect it sooner rather than later. Romeo Doubs. So Jeremy Fowler said the plan is for him to return to practice this week. This is what I expected to see. The story itself has a lot more nuance to it than is publicly reported. And I think ultimately this is going to be water under the bridge for Romeo Doubs when it's all said and done for the Green Bay Packers. All right, let's get into the waiver wire for this week. So the waiver wire tool is over at ftnfantasy.com. I wanted to put that in place so you didn't have to worry about sorting through an article, like, which just doesn't make sense to me. Instead, you can sort, you can filter, you can search. You have all the information you need. They're in order of my preference. They have fab recommendations. They have a quick note from me about each player and why kind of they are where they are. And then even the roster ship across ESPN and Yahoo. I don't have everyone in there, but usually those are pretty good indicators of what you could expect across the fantasy landscape. So this week, and I'll give you the top 10, there are 43 players though. So if you want the rest, including the three defenses to stream this week, you got to go to the tool. Tank Bigsby is number one. I'm going 15 to 30%. He's very widely available. Now, there's a couple things going on here. It isn't just ETN being banged up. Tank Bigsby has been much more effective than ETN on the ground. In fact, he's having like Devon Achane like efficiency for like Achane last year. He's having that kind of efficiency this year so far. I don't expect that to sustain, but here's what I do expect. This coming into the season looked like ETN was the lead, Bigsby was the handcuff. That is not what we have seen. What we are seeing is a timeshare where ETN is the passing down back, and rightfully so. He's a better pass catcher, and Bigsby is the early down back. And right now, rightly so, because he is the better early down back. He has been awesome. So that's where we are. I think it's fine to grab Bigsby. You know, you're kind of looking at this hopefully as a flex plus. Now, if you have ETN and you've had Bigsby all along, obviously you have a start sit dilemma on your hands, which unfortunately it evolved into that. If you have ETN and you're thinking about picking up Bigsby, I'm not going to talk you out of any move. You got to run your teams as you see fit. But just be aware you could face a potential start-sit dilemma going forward because Bigsby is going to be used in this offense. Like you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube at this point. He's just too good in the run game for them, too effective. So he's the top out of the week, and he's very widely available. Now, number two is not widely available, but I did want to include him. Darnell Mooney, 31% available on ESPN, actually 52% on Yahoo. 15 to 30% on him. Week five, he was a monster. I'm not expecting week five to keep happening. That would be utterly foolish. It was a high watermark game, but we know now how high the water can go. We know what his ceiling looks like, and it's pretty stinking high. He's a wide receiver three plus going forward, especially if Kirk Cousins really continues this momentum from last week. Rico Dowdle coming in at 10 to 20% on him now. He's out there in enough leagues, 47% of ESPN leagues, 44% of Yahoo leagues, and he out-touched Zeke last week, 22-6. Like, he's a clear RB1. The problem is, will they eventually sign Dalvin Cook to the active roster? And I don't know if that happens sooner, later, or not at all for the team, but they have talked about how he's made some progress for them. I don't think Dowdle will completely be relegated, but I do think that short yardage situations may end up going to Dalvin Cook, which those are those high value goal line carries. So that's why I'm not going over the top with Dowdle, but Dowdle's going to be very usable in the bye weeks here. Chase Brown at 4. I said I would mention him. So 10 to 20% on him. He's out there in enough ESPN leagues that he just makes the cut. And also, like, before I get into him, he should be rostered. And I will put this tool out there. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is sometimes I'll put things out, and whether it's me talking on the radio show or here, whether it's me writing something, whether it's me putting a tool together or projections together or what have you, and I have a specific reason for why I'm putting it out, and then people will use it for other reasons that may be unintentionally bad. The waiver wire tool is designed to show you who's probably available in your leagues, and not all these guys are going to be available, and that's fine. That's what happens, but who's probably available and the order I would prefer picking them up in. It is an add tool. It does not mean if you have the guy at 20 and then there's the guy at 3 that you should drop the guy at 20. It is not a drop tool. It is not a drop tool. And I don't want to do drop tools because adding is a lot easier than dropping in terms of I can give general waiver wire advice that applies across the fantasy landscape. I can't give you general drop advice. I used to do it. I've talked about this many times. It was really, really, really crappy advice. If I just blindly tell you to drop somebody, what do you think about that? Like, I know that you've been trained to want that, but really think about it. I don't know what your roster is. I don't know what your roster requirements are. I don't know who's in free agency. I don't know your level of opponents. I don't know anything about your league. How can I just be like, yeah, drop them? Like, and even with the waiver wire tool, I'm not even saying you have to add these guys. I'm just saying, hey, here's my preferred order of adding these guys. For me to just blindly tell you to drop somebody is really crappy advice. You know, it is really, really crappy advice. So don't use the waiver wire tool as a drop tool, please. It is not a drop tool. All right. So back to Chase Brown. He is really explosive in that backfield, and he should be rostered. He should in most situations, and he will be a flex or better. Now, Zach Moss's injury isn't serious, but I still like the pop that that Chase Brown gives. You know, explosive plays come much easier to him than they do to Zach Moss. So he's going to continue to have some value here, especially in the bye weeks. All right, top quarterback on the board. I'm actually going 7 to 15% here on Kirk Cousins. If he was dropped, things started clicking for him last week. He's going to be in the QB1 conversation, especially during the buys. I don't know if he sticks there throughout the remainder of the season, but at this point of the year, especially if you're kind of streaming and maybe he was dropped and you really haven't been able to cobble it together quite yet, he's a great option. Or if you're in a situation where you have one of these guys on bye, you have Patrick Mahomes, okay. You have Sam Darnold, okay. This is a very nice fill-in this week. And if you have Sam Darnold, who knows? Maybe Kirk Cousins ends up being a better option than, maybe he ends up being a better option than Patrick Mahomes. That really pains me to say, but it could happen. I don't want to say it's definite. Please don't go and quote me on that. I still obviously have Mahomes ahead of him in rest of season, though Mahomes is way down compared to where he was drafted. He's still back end quarterback 1, but I have him at 12 in ROS right now. Rest of season rankings were updated this morning, by the way. Tyrone Tracy coming up next. Okay, so a couple things here. I am willing to go 7 to 15% on him. He's fairly widely available. Topped 100 rushing yards last week. Devin Singletary is going to have a role when he's back. Is he back this week? I don't know. But he's going to have a role. But Tyrone Tracy, to my eye, looked a little bit better. Now, I don't want to knock Singletary because I think he actually surprised me with how decent he's looked, but Tracy looked a little bit better than decent, like gave a little bit more to this offense, which is actually surprisingly not a bad offense right now. He gave a little bit more. He gave a little bit more than Singletary. And while maybe you pick up Tracy this week, let's say Singletary comes back, you pick up Tracy this week and it's like, oh, well, yeah, there he goes. He only has 7 or 8 touches and he wasn't usable. I think this is a situation where we get towards the end of the season, and this happens every year in fantasy. People forget about this every stinking year in fantasy. But the rookies emerge at running back down the stretch. And this could be one of those situations because we already saw signs of that happening where he just gives them a little bit more and the team decides to go with him down the stretch. Now, I can't guarantee that's going to happen. I can't guarantee you'll catch lightning in a bottle. That'd be foolish of me to do so. But the Giants aren't that bad. Now, they're not that great, but they aren't that bad either. And this could be one of those, put them on your roster. Let's see what happens with Tyrone Tracy. Make sure your expectations are in place, in the right place. But man, oh man, I like what we saw this past week. Josh Downs, 7-15%. Admittedly, I'd rather have Joe Flacco out there for him, which kind of sucks because he's the backup. They've made it abundantly clear. They're not going to pull the ripcord. They're not pulling a Carolina Panthers here. They're not doing it. And I don't think they should. But it is a shame. Like, what if Joe Flacco was on the Raiders? Like, he'd be a fine starting quarterback for the Raiders. Like, what if Joe Flacco was on the Tennessee Titans? He would be a fine starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, but yet he's stuck behind Anthony Richardson. Either way, Josh Downs should be rostered. Geno Smith as number 8, 5-10% on him. It's actually a pretty good week for quarterbacks in one quarterback leagues. He leads the league in passing yards, 1466. He's QB7 in fantasy. He doesn't have a massive ceiling, but sometimes that's all you need is a decent floor to get through the bye weeks. Jalen Tolbert at 9. Be very careful here. I am seeing a lot of folks out there chasing fantasy points. I had somebody ask me if they should drop Dontavian Wicks for Jalen Tolbert. So last week's flavor of the week for one of the flavors of the week of this week. We cannot go back in time. We can't hop in the DeLorean. The TARDIS doesn't work. We have no time machine here, okay? We can't go back in time and get last week's points. And chasing last week's points doesn't work very well for a lot of fantasy managers. Now, Tolbert, let's be clear about this. He's going to have a role going forward because Brandon Cooks is on IR. But if you expect last week to be the new normal, I don't think that's going to be the case. He's not going to out-target CeeDee Lamb every week. CeeDee Lamb is going to face Joey Porter every week. So just be careful. Don't just sort by last week's fantasy points scored and add the guys who scored the most points. Not a great move. Number 10, we'll round this thing out, is Jakobi Meyers, 5-10% on him. He's the number one receiver, wide receiver, not pass catcher because it's still Brock Bowers, but with Adams out of the mix, he's going to be like a wide receiver 3-ish. I mean, the quarterback woes there are still going to be problematic, but you could do worse than Jakobi Meyers. He's not widely available at this point, but he is out there in enough leagues that you might be able to snag him tonight in waivers. All right, if you want the rest of the waiver wire recommendations for this week, head on over to ftnfantasy.com, check out the waiver wire tool and all the rest of the goods that we have. It's not too late to sign up. You can sign up at any point. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. You can follow along with me on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe, and on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe. And a shout out to all the people who have been watching that other pregame show on Sunday mornings on CBS Sports Network. It took a long time, I guess, for people to realize I was on the show. Maybe I should have promoted it more, but I've been on the show now. This is my 9th NFL season on the show. We are a pregame show. We're at CBS Broadcast Center right across the hallway from, you know, all the Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson, all them, and they come on the show. This past week, I did a DFS stack segment with Matt Ryan, which was pretty awesome. But it is a great show. Shout out to everybody who's been watching it. If you haven't, take a look. It's awesome. 8 to noon Eastern on Sunday mornings. We're the best pregame show on TV right now. All right, that does it for today. Remember, tomorrow I'm on the FTN Fantasy Podcast feed. We'll talk a little bit about the moving pieces, injury-wise, bye week-wise, and some early thoughts on rankings. Of course, rankings will be released today, this afternoon, at ftnfantasy.com. Then I'll be back on Thursday, and we'll just keep rolling, man. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.